Soviet and U.S. satellites picked up images of missiles being launched off the coast of South Africa from this testing range I described earlier. And the plume, the exhaust trail from these missiles, matched the Israeli Jericho exactly. So CIA and Defense Intelligence Agency documents that have been declassified in Washington reveal that everyone in the U.S. intelligence community immediately saw this as a signature of an Israeli system or a technology that had been transferred to South Africa, or that there had been such close cooperation that the technology was essentially identical. And so at this point, Bush 41 reprimands Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir, because this is 2 years after Israel has imposed its own sanctions against South Africa. Israel had vowed to sign no new arms contracts in 1987 after the U.S. government passed sanctions against South Africa and threatened to cut off military aid to any other country in the world that continued to sell arms to South Africa. 2 years later, missiles are being launched off of the South African coast that look identical to Israeli missiles. And so after 1989 and this discovery, the relationship begins to wind down. And by the time the transition begins in South Africa, and Nelson Mandela is released from prison and eventually becomes president in 1994, you see everything slowly disappear. And by 1994, there are no longer high-level military delegations going to Israel. The highest-level South African delegation at that point is the boxing team, and they're going to on a tour of Israel.
We talk about the Israeli generals, the relationship being so close that they would take South Africans to the front lines of the Lebanon war in 1982,
That's
the
correct.
Israeli invasion of Lebanon.
That's correct. The South African general, Constant Viljoen, did travel into Lebanon with Israeli officials at that time. According to the documents in my possession, he did so before even Americans were invited by the Israelis to observe what the South Africans did. The other thing worth noting is that Constant Viljoen also went to the occupied territories in 1977, and he marveled at the Israeli checkpoint system and, quite frankly, was jealous of it. And he wrote in a report to the South African defense minister, "The thoroughness with which Israel conducts this examination is astonishing. At the quickest, it takes individual Arabs that come through there about 1.5 hours. When the traffic is heavy, it takes from 4 to 5 hours." And this was part of a document admiring Israel's internal security apparatus.
You have an interesting aspect of this story, which is the ADL in the United States, the Anti-Discrimination Committee. And we only have a minute to go that we're
sure.
going to post the rest of the interview on the website. What about the American, the Anti-Defamation League?
Well, essentially, during the late 1980s and early 1990s, the Anti-Defamation League employed a man named Roy Bullock, who was also on the payroll of South African intelligence. And this man was acting on behalf of South African intelligence and the ADL to infiltrate anti-apartheid groups in the Bay Area. And FBI files investigating the espionage involved came out later, confirming that he was essentially providing the same information to both the ADL and the South African government intelligence services, because they were concerned that the anti-apartheid movement in the U.S. was becoming very strong, and the Israelis and pro-Israel organizations in the U.S. were afraid that this was tarnishing Israel's international image.
Finally, we only have 15 seconds, but this history that was going on between Israel and South Africa, this relationship supporting the South African apartheid regime.
Yes, it was vital. And I would argue that it prolonged the life of the apartheid regime in South Africa. It was a vital link.
We're going to leave it there. Sasha Polakow-Saransky will continue at democracynow.org, senior editor at Foreign Affairs. His new book, The Unspoken Alliance, Israel's Secret Relationship with Apartheid South Africa. That does it for our show. Happy birthday to Mike DiFilippo. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, what's going on? It's DJ Ev with your WUSB concert billboard for the week of May 24th. Thursday the 27th, the Yardbirds are at the Bolton Center. Open mic night with Tom Groney at Sage Cafe at 9:30. And at 8 at Morell's, it's Robert Poe special. Gotham Rocks and Tim No. 37 present No Mercy Metal Showcase at Crash Mansion. Friday the 28th, WUSB's own Ahmad Ali, 8 p.m. Athens Grill, and at the Velvet Lounge at the Curry Club in Isatawket, right around the corner from WUSB, Black Country Beatniks with the return of Drew Drums. Knitting Factory Brooklyn welcomes Junk Science, Tone Tank and Scott Thurrow, Das Racist, Cavalier, Chances with Wolves doing a DJ set, Memphis Crawl, 9:30, Lulu's Village Pub, Poor Jeff, 7:30 at the Babylon Arts Council Arts Center, Hank Stone, Rough Folk, and Reckoning at Woody's at 10 p.m. Saturday the 29th, Bella Fleck, Zakir Hussein, Edgar Meyer, West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center, the Mudcats from 1 to 5 at Jamesport Winery, and Hydrium Sextet at the Sage Cafe. Ossie Del Moore and the Soldiers of Justice, Wicked Willies, 9 p.m. till midnight. Downward Dogs at the Velvet Lounge at the Curry Club in Isatawket at 7 p.m. Jay Riley doing a live performance recording at the Cup. And Dog Star Compromise, Grey Horse Tavern, 10 p.m. Sunday, May 30th, Susie Esman, West Hampton Beach Performing Arts Center, Jazz Brunch, 11 to 2 at Jamesport Vineyard. Ossie Del Moore and the Soldiers of Justice, Wicked Willies, 9 p.m. till midnight. Quadrilove Reggae Band at Wicked Willies, 9 p.m. till midnight. And the Rhythm Kings are at Popeyes in Corum. And if you're a local venue, band, or promoter, and you want to get your gig on the concert billboard, send an email to scene, that's S-C-E-N-E, at WUSB.FM. And as always, thanks for listening to the concert billboard right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 1 minute after 6 o'clock. And that means it's time for the off-the-wall theme. Giving to everybody, the program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. And tonight is a special program. Tonight we're going to be doing the first of our specials from the recent trip over to the former Yugoslavia. Last month My associate Kyle and myself went over there to explore, to document, to bring back to you, the listener. Well, that's not the only reason we went over there, but that's one of the side benefits, is you get to hear what it sounded like over there. We talked to various people in various parts of that part of the world, former republics. You'll hear bits and pieces of the radio spectrum over there, and hopefully enjoy it and write to us and tell us how much you like it. We have some mail that I'd like to read before we get into the feature tonight. You can email us, otw@2600.com. That is our email address. Dear Emmanuel, I'm curious why you wait until you take phone calls before you enable your digital delay. If you enable it right away, if someone slips and accidentally says something that might be construed as advertising, you can hit the dump button and not have to scold anybody. All you have to do is hope that nobody says Airbus multiple times before the delay builds up again. Very funny. Very funny. Yes. We're not confirming that we were on an Airbus, but we simply didn't identify the aircraft we were on. We said it was the largest passenger airline in the world, and that's our story. We're going to stick to it. And as far as the delay goes, yes, we're trained here in the studio not to slip up like that. So we're safe. We're safe. It's those unknown entities out there that we have to be concerned about. Anyway, continuing, I understand that the Starbucks dancers have an odd no photography policy, undoubtedly a union rule. That's not necessarily the case. I'm not going to get into details on why they don't want people taking their pictures, but it's not. Don't jump to conclusions. That's all I have to say. Truth be told, while we all would love to see Kyle's photography, I'm sure I speak for all off-the-wall fans by saying that we'd also love to have more info on the dancers. Do they have a website? What's the name of the troupe? Do they do graduation parties? And hey, the law says that in public places it's legal to photograph them all you want, so maybe Kyle could sneak a shot of the dancers after they leave the studio and RSA crossing the street or something. Out there, all bets are off. Well, unfortunately, Kyle's back in Seattle, so unless the dancers make a trip out there, that's not going to happen. And they're not here tonight anyway, so... and you know what? They listen to the radio, so no, we're not going to do any of that. Yeah. What really fascinates me is that these dancers are so graceful. You can't even hear their feet in the background with the mic on. Well, actually, you can if you listen carefully. And you can certainly hear when they wail somebody across the face with their foot. But I said enough about that over the last few weeks. Maybe you can have one or two of these dancers as guests, especially the one that was injured. I think that would be a nice peace offering. Okay, the dancer wasn't injured. It was the drummer who was injured. So let's get the story straight. I loved hearing about your travels to Yugoslavia, too. I think it would be really cool if at some point you could explain to listeners, or even write an article in 2600, how someone on a not high income can take such amazing trips. Well, one thing, you have to play into events of the world. A volcano's going off. You can use that to your advantage. By bargaining and negotiating and finding deals that weren't necessarily available before, and also going to parts of the world where things are phenomenally cheap. And that was the case here. Both Kyle and I are shocked at the prices we've had to pay for things since we got back here. Of course, they're the same prices we had to pay before we left, but having seen the things we can do over there, well, you'll hear it in tonight's show. You'll hear some of that. At the same time, I think you and Kyle are also blessed that you can make a living without being tied down to a work schedule that prevents you from making those trips. I certainly look forward to hearing more about your recent and future travels. Signed, Sean in Chicago. Thanks very much for that letter, Sean. And, you know, it's really a state of mind more than anything else. We all have that freedom. We all can get out there and see the world if we want to. And there are all kinds of ways to figure out how to balance those books, being clever and creative and just maybe not having certain needs, not having to get premium channels on your cable or something. There's all kinds of ways of cutting back and focusing on the things that are really important. Here's another letter. Dear Emmanuel, you've mentioned on both the previous shows that you returned from Europe on the world's biggest airplane. Unless you managed to get a ride on the Antonov AN-225 cargo plane, I think what you mean is the largest passenger plane. For some reason, I couldn't resist pointing that out. Signed, Keith. Well, Keith, I think we did point out that it was, in fact, a passenger plane. In fact, it's pretty obvious we were on a passenger plane, but regardless, yeah, okay, we weren't on an Antonov. I guess I can say that. And finally, dear Emmanuel, it sounds like you had a great time in Europe, and I'm sure we all enjoy hearing about your adventures. I'm slightly confused from the episode on May 11th where you were on the largest passenger plane in the world with a specific airline. However, you could not mention the name of either. Obviously, it was one of the latest Airbus planes. That's an assumption. That's an assumption. Remember, if you assume, you make an ass out of you and I. Yeah. And it shouldn't be hard to work out the airline you flew with. However, I was wondering, Why could you not mention their names, but for some weeks you had a Starbucks segment? Signed, John. Well, John, we were gushing so much at the way we were treated on that particular aircraft by that particular airline. If we were to mention either the aircraft or the airline, undoubtedly, thousands of our listeners would be writing in accusing us of advertising or taking payola or something like that, and we will not have that. That's all I'm going to say on that matter. You can assume whatever you wish to assume as to which airline we were flying on and what airplane it was called, but that's where we're going to leave it, just the way we roll. Okay, it's time for us to get into our Croatia segment, and you're going to hear some Croatian radio taped in Zagreb. And a conversation with a friend of ours over there. Enjoy. Zege Radio.
Upoznajte najbolje, uvijek na vrhu, uvijek prvi. Oni su Hrvatska olimpijska obitelj.
Svakodnevno u programu Zagrebačkog radija.
U emisiji Olimpika predstavljamo vam partneri članice Pula Hrvatskog olimpijskog odbora. Ovaj tjedan predstavljamo vam PBZ, članicu Hrvatskog olimpijskog pula.
Zagrebački radio na 97 i 99 MHz. Za ljude koji slušaju srce.
Okay, we're here in Zagreb with Philip and Kyle. Well, first say hi, Kyle.
Hi there.
And here is Philip from Zagreb.
Hi, everyone.
So now, just to let our listeners know, you're not actually from Croatia yourself.
No, I was born in Australia, then later I moved to Italy, and then I ended up in Croatia. So, long story, basically.
And you're also half Scottish?
Yes, also my father is from Scotland. Yes, I'm Scottish half.
Okay, well, Philip has been showing us around the town today, and it's been fascinating. Zagreb is an amazing place, very old town. Really interesting-looking buildings, a lively feel to it. I don't know, Kyle, what's your impression?
Very, very old town, as you said, but beautiful. Just very, very clean, very easily traveled. You know, you can shop. I mean, I don't know. We just walked past the Central District today, which was much different from coming in from the airport and, you know, getting settled and stuff. Seeing the city downtown, you really got a feel for the people, and it just it has a old world feel, but it's very modern, and a lot of the shops are updated and well kept. I don't know, it just feels really good to walk around.
Oh, Philip, you've been here 6 years?
Near 6 years, yes.
And how have you seen Croatia or Zagreb change in that time?
Oh, well, when I arrived was... Well, Croatia would never been far from, let's say, a European standard, as we can say like this. So the city's changing a lot in the surrounding, especially in suburbs. There are popping up new buildings and new architectures and modern architecture. So downtown, it's still crowded and didn't change that much. I think that is keeping all the old fashion that have to keep a city, have to keep their own identity, and yes, I think it's a very good city, and especially people are very friendly and nice toward foreigners and who is visiting Croatia. Well,
mm-hmm. Well, people have been very patient with us because we don't know really any words in Croatian, do we? I don't think we really. No, it's single.
I think we could probably put please together or thank you together.
Fala.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could. Yeah. We learned it today, yeah.
Well, you knew it already. So, yeah, but what you're saying about the oldness of the city, just noticing the trams, you were telling us there are three different generations of trams that are rolling on the streets now.
Yeah, rolling three different generations. When I arrived was also the fourth generation that I think was the very first generation that are not going around anymore because they are very old. The tram it's working quite well, so it just move a lot of cars outside the city center, so it's quite, also it's fascinating to take some rides from point to another of the city, so I advise this to do it. Yeah.
That's a great example of what I was saying. Is they keep the older trains going, and you see these brand new trains mixed right in with the old ones, and they just sort of keep things working and bring in new stuff, but also update the older things so that they can all sort of coexist. And it really works naturally, and just the flow of the city feels, it's really warm, and very very easily done. So.
And there's also the communist-era architecture that you were pointing out to us, the apartment buildings in the distance that just look very, I guess, monolithic and kind of plain and utilitarian.
Yeah, it's very utilitarian. It's the concept of this architecture. It's like the analogy is like the fascist architecture that is very minimalistic architecture and functioning. So, yes, around here they coexist. Old, ancient buildings from the socialist past, and now the new ones that are just popping around all the city, coexisting in a very strange way, because you have to look around the city to spot them. So,
and then, of course, you also have your really old churches. We saw a Gothic cathedral today.
Yeah.
And they've been around forever, and they're very huge and picturesque.
Yeah, it's quite huge. When you approach and when you stand in front, it makes really the sense of how huge is this cathedral and these big towers. Yes,
mm-hmm. Now, the country is 98% Catholic. You say?
I guess yes, between 95% and 98%. Mm-hmm. Percent. I don't know, but it's not below 95%.
Mm-hmm. Yet, you were telling us that the president of the country is a confirmed agnostic.
Oh, of course, yes, he's agnostic, and well, it's quite strange for such Catholic country like this to have an agnostic president, and
And a female prime minister.
Yeah. This is really also...
We've had none of that. We have never had a female prime minister. In fact, we've never had a prime minister.
Yeah, we don't have a prime minister, actually.
Yeah, but if we did, we wouldn't have had a female one by now. Yeah.
I don't know that we'd know what to do with a prime minister if we had one.
No, okay. It's here, yeah. It's a parliamentary republic, so it's not a presidential republic, so it functions quite different, so... Mm.
And we certainly don't have an agnostic anywhere. I don't, have we ever, Kyle, have we ever had an agnostic elected to high office?
That beats me. I would very quickly say no.
No, they didn't even say atheist, just agnostic.
Yeah, I've never heard of an agnostic leader in our country.
So everybody in the House of Representatives, everybody in the Senate, and everybody who's ever been president or vice president has publicly believed in God.
You know, now that you mention that, I'd say one way or another, There's God in there with us.
Why don't we do a little bit of investigation, do that sort of a witch hunt, in fact, and see if we can find the one person who never actually said they believed in God, and then point the finger at them, even if they're dead 100 years, and say, this person might have been an atheist.
That's a worthy project.
All right, maybe our listeners can help us with this.
Yeah, that's curious. I'd suggest we do that.
What do you guys think of America?
Oh, well, for me it's very...
And keep it clean.
It's very controversial. Topic, but you know, for me it's really still a big country of opportunities, and it's still a great and not perfect democracy, as all democracy are not perfect, basically. I have friends in States, and I know a lot of people from States, so fortunately, all the people that I know are very smart, and they are not so kind of extreme wings or whatever, so I have really pleasant conversation and good exchange of ideas that can help each other really to understand our different way of life and way of living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about this before, and how America has elected a black president, which is something that seemed inconceivable only a few years ago. But in addition to that, and more importantly, just the perception of the country in the eyes of the rest of the world has changed as a result of just having a more intelligent dialogue. And this is apart from any policy issues. This is just the perception that, well, we can actually have a conversation now.
Yeah, and that our system is malleable, as you said, imperfect, but it functions in a fluid way, or as I said, malleable. You can actually get people to unify and create some sort of change. Maybe, as you said, it's not a perfect change, but it's different. And as Emmanuel stated, we have dialogue now. We have listening in our government. That's uncanny.
And so now, what kind of opinion have people generally had towards Obama?
Well, first, he's not a warmonger. We hope that he will have new ideas and just try to take away the troops from Iraq and Afghanistan so more quickly. And and basically, he had some good points on foreign policy with decreasing the nuclear weapons of 25%.
25%.
So this was...
But of course, our Congress still has to ratify this, yeah. And I think a lot of people will accuse him of being weak by getting rid of all of 25% of our nukes that we really don't need.
But it's better than nothing.
It certainly is. Let's just hope that they actually ratify it. Now, we were also talking earlier about health care, and how is the health care debate viewed here by people watching us fighting about these changes?
I'll not say what was the perception in Croatia, what it was the perception generally in Europe. Okay, well, the American system for a European citizen is completely unacceptable. For us, the healthcare is the base of the life, and for us it's also the base of human rights. When we say we are going to the hospital, we are going to the hospital. We are not going to a private or public hospital. For us it's hospital, so you just get inside and take all the cares that you need, and then you walk out. It's not.
Can you give us an example of something that that you're familiar with that might have happened when involving a hospital, involving medical care?
I can tell you that I had in my family a casualty that a relative of mine went under big surgery and went to the hospital and get out without paying a penny.
But they had to wait 20 years to get into the hospital?
No, he waited less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks, and they were treated, had surgery, and didn't have to pay anything.
No. They also gave him some money to get back home.
They gave him money to get back home?
Yeah, for the taxi.
But he had to pay to get to the hospital?
No.
Okay, you know, what's the catch? What is the catch to this? I mean, you were telling us before about education. How much do people pay for education?
Well, I'm sure it's for faculty, I think it's around 300 euros for a year, something like this.
What, 300 euros to attend a college?
For 1 year college, yeah.
Okay, 300 euros, which is about, what, $400 maybe? 400 US dollars to attend, but what kind of college is it?
Faculty, yeah.
I'm not sure what that means, a faculty.
It's a medical faculty or whatever. Uh-huh. Engineering or whatever.
Okay, so a good college.
Of course.
All right, so $400, you get to attend college for a year, and healthcare, you get taxi ride home and an operation when you need it,
and you don't pay anything. Okay, so what's the catch?
I know. It's taxes, right? It's got to be taxes.
What is the catch? What is
you
the
don't
catch?
Have any money because all you do is pay taxes, right?
That's no. I have my money.
It's a socialism, right? It's got to be.
I have my money. I have my money in my wallet. I have my money in my bank account. I have enough money to live a decent life, to travel, and to enjoy my life. And so I have enough money. I am not rich, but I have enough money to have a decent life.
If you wanted to be rich, could you get rich?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, how many millionaires and billionaires do you have in the streets? Are there many?
Not that much.
Aha! Okay, so maybe that's the catch. Maybe you have less millionaires and billionaires, and that offsets the cost of these various social programs.
And celebrities.
And you maybe don't have as many celebrities that have to be paid lots of money, baseball players, things like that?
We have some soccer players that they have good money, but the other celebrities are quite broken, so they don't get so much money.
So is that really all it takes? If we just get rid of the millionaires, billionaires, and some celebrities, have enough money to fund education and health care and all kinds of other things? I mean, you guys are living pretty well here.
We are not at war as well.
Oh, you don't get to have wars. Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's a big... They're expensive.
How many soldiers you have in Afghanistan and Iraq? How many thousand?
Oh, something like, what, 50, 60,000? I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. I don't keep a running top. I do know these wars cost more than a trillion. I mean, what they're complaining about with health care, how much that's costing, is a drop in the bucket compared to what wars cost.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's something. Now we're getting to the catch here. If you don't have wars, then, of course, there's going to be money left over.
They had war here, but it was 15 years ago, so I think they are over.
Well, okay, let's talk about this. Of course, there were several wars in this region, and it gets very complicated after a while. I guess we should probably limit it to what happened in Croatia, because it's just...
Absolutely, yes.
This is too many other things, and we'll get into it in other episodes of the show. But basically what happened was Croatia declared independence from Yugoslavia, and Yugoslavia, particularly Serbia, didn't really go for that so much and started a war that lasted how long?
Well, the complete war was... Around 4 years.
About 4 years. But Zagreb was never attacked?
Only once, as I know. Mm-hmm. Only once.
And that was, what, a missile that just landed somewhere?
Missile that landed and even not that much people killed. I don't know precisely, but not that much.
Now, you weren't here during the war?
I was not here.
But you must know lots of people who lived through it.
Oh, of course, of course.
How do you think it affected them?
Well, people that that they lived during the war, I think that they have developed a kind of very tough skin, because it's not, war is not a joke. It's not the stuff that you see in the movies and so the movie, when you have the war in your house, it's quite different. So I think that people just develop a good heart and tough skin. So
you think if Americans had wars in their house, as you said, they might be interested in less of them?
I guess yes, finally.
Well, you know, it's fascinating to me because 15 years ago there was war between the Serbs and the Croats, and of course that's particularly sensitive because they were so intermingled. Many families had a husband who was a Serb and a wife who was a Croat, vice versa, children of mixed heritage. And to suddenly have two sides be in opposition, you literally had brother against brother sometimes, and it was a horrible situation. 15 years later, it just seems to be so distant. The camaraderie is back, I suppose, but maybe it's more genuine this time. And maybe it'll last longer. I mean, right now, there's the deputy prime minister is a Serb of Croatia, deputy prime minister of Croatia, and that would have been unthinkable only a few years ago, I think.
I guess yes, was unthinkable. Yeah, I am. Now the relation between states are quite good as well. Between people are good. There is as well a very noisy minority that always screams and so on. So on, but this is just minority.
You have tea parties too?
Oh no. Well, you know, we don't have.
But what do you call yours?
Oh, party of the rights.
No, tea party. That's
no, yeah. We don't have tea parties here.
Okay. Well, it sounds very similar. Yeah. So you have this minority, and they're basically trying to incite hatred between different people.
Yeah, yeah.
Want to get their country back?
Not get the country back, but just to blow up, to blow on the fire, you know.
Yeah, tea party, definitely. So now, how much of this do you think is driven by the desire of Croatia to become part of the EU? And where does that stand?
Croatia did very good progress in the last 4 years, basically, with with some issues that the European Union pointed up. And I think that we will enter in less than 2 years in the European Union, yes, of course. We will enter in 2 years.
What kinds of qualifications does a country need to fulfill in order to actually get in?
Depends.
You guys didn't make the World Cup. That had to count against you. Yeah, it's a big problem.
Yeah. No, actually, there is some standards. There is some that you have to accomplish, like you have to fight corruption. You have to lower the foreigner debt, and you have to fix your internal monetary system, and that is it, basically.
And what condition are those things in now? The monetary system in Croatia, is it stable? Is inflation running wild?
So far, the inflation it's stable. It's not skyrocketing, so it's stable. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've been to the States once.
Yeah, I've been 2 years ago for a while in Bay Area and neighborhoods, and I've been amazed about that. I'm coming back.
And you're hoping to come to the Hope Conference in July.
But I will come also in other occasions.
From your experience and your experiences in America, what do you admire most, or what kind of things do you appreciate about it? You've been there at least once, right?
Oh, wow. First of all, the weather in California. First of all, this is what's...
Yeah, we work hard on that.
Yeah. And and second, really, the people that they want to speak and share with you. When they spot that you are a foreigner, they just run behind you and ask and inquire you of everything, you know.
Yeah, do you have your card? Are you legally here? That kind of thing.
Yeah, no, they just ask you. Yeah,
it depends who you ask, I guess.
Yeah, just ask.
It also depends where you're from.
Yeah. Well, I had positive experience in the States, absolutely.
When you told people you were from Croatia, did people know where that was?
Yeah, surprisingly, yes. Yes, a lot of people knew it, Croatia, knew it, Yugoslavia, you knew it, Dubrovnik, that is a good, it's still one of the top destination of Mediterranean, so.
That's a destination. I don't think we're going to make it to this time, but we're going to try to get to Split, which is, you want to tell us what Split's like?
Split's like, it's a typical Mediterranean city in the, near the coast. It's on the coast, basically.
Adriatic Sea.
Adriatic City, yeah. South Adriatic City. Very nice people. Strange architecture between Venice architecture, ancient architecture, Roman. So there is a lot of stuff over there in Split to visit.
And why is it called Split? Is it broken?
No. I don't know why.
Okay, we'll try to find that out.
I don't know.
We'll find out the reason behind these things. But Croatia has a very interesting geography. The coastline extends. I mean, Bosnia kind of got the short end of the stick on this one. If you look at a map of Bosnia and Croatia, Croatia's got this little tiny sliver. How wide would you say the sliver is? It looks like only a couple of miles.
Yes, it's around a few miles. Yeah,
a few miles wide, and they basically keep Bosnia from getting any access to the water, except for what is a 1.5 mile area that Bosnia has, I guess, a beach or something or a harbor.
Yeah,
and that's it for Bosnia.
Yeah, that's all. Nothing else.
Wow, that's quite a land deal that got worked out there.
Yeah.
Is that historical? Do you know?
No idea.
Interesting.
No idea. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just interesting. If you look at a map, it just looks really weird and strange. So we're also going to be heading to Ljubljana in Slovenia.
Ljubljana.
Yeah. And all the other republics we're going to try and hit as well. Is there any advice you have for us as far as places to see or things to watch out for?
Well, Ljubljana have a really amazing and nice downtown to visit. Just walk and take a few coffees and sit down and relax, you know.
That's what we did today in Zagreb. How is it different from Zagreb?
Oh, it's the same. You just...
Well, different language for one thing.
The language is a little bit different. But you can just relax in Ljubljana, take a walk in downtown, and it's a very nice city. There is a river that pass in the city center that divide the city in two, so it's a very nice place, yeah.
Interesting. So it's also fascinating, the languages. You speak Croatian here in Croatia,
mm-hmm.
and they speak Serbian in Serbia. They speak Montenegrin in Montenegro, and they speak Bosnian in Bosnia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all the same language.
More or less, yes, with some very small differences, but they can understand 100% each other, with no problem.
Can you tell if somebody is Serbian by the way they speak?
For me it's quite difficult.
But for somebody looking for those differences, they can?
Of course, the second word they can spot immediately where you are from, yeah.
Plus, also Serbia and Montenegro have the Cyrillic alphabet, and Croatia and Bosnia use the Roman alphabet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it just words that are different between the languages, or is there intonation, some accents, like the inflection, the way they sound things?
Yeah, there is the accent and also the slang. Slang is quite different.
Well, that's happened between countries that were once united, between the two Koreas, between the two Germanys. There were slight differences. These things do develop over time. So, yeah, that's going to be fascinating to watch out for. But Slovenia speaks a different language. Macedonia speaks a different language. What do they speak in Kosovo?
The Serbs of Kosovo, they speak Serb, and the Albanian from Kosovo, they speak Albanian.
Fascinating region. Wow. Well, Philip, I want to thank you so much for showing us around. I mean, we had a great time today just wandering around the city. You showed us all kinds of sites, just basically went up on top of a big hill, I guess, and looked over the city and had a bunch of coffees everywhere. We didn't get to have the Balkan burger, but we're going to do that, right? You want to describe what that is to our listeners?
Yeah, Balkan burger is 300 meat beaten and with cheese inside.
300 grams, okay.
Yeah. 300 grams of meat filled with cheese inside. So
cheese inside the meat. Oh, boy. Well, you know, we had a nice compromise. We had all kinds of... What would you call what we had instead? It was a mix of all different kinds of meat and things?
Oh, today. Today, yes, we have mixed plate of meat. And we had...
That doesn't do it justice. I mean, it was so much more than just that.
Yeah, it was all the combination all together with the grilled mushrooms, beans, and so on. So it was a really good combination.
I really, really enjoyed the tour and the time you spent with us today. And I did want to mention something that came up at dinner, and this has a lot to do with politics and some of the things that we've been talking about, and that's the quality of the food. And the fact that it's all locally sourced, we're getting a lot of this in the States. People are, no pun intended, they're fed up with mm-hmm. our substandard food. And this goes right to the heart of the health issue. And we had a pretty lengthy discussion over dinner, but basically this meal was incredible. There was a huge platter of food for, you know, more than three people. And we had, you know, at least, you know, one or two beers each. And again, this is all locally sourced food, incredibly rich flavors, and cooked, you know, no less than gourmet. I mean, come on, this was not some short order kitchen. This was an incredible restaurant. And I don't know if you mentioned it's not polite to mention to say the price, but could you tell us how much was dinner tonight?
For three people with a huge amount of food and two beers each.
It was around $40.
Wow, that is unbelievable. But what Kyle was saying about what the food is like, I mean, the dishes they brought us were just so big, and you say that's the typical serving size, is to be really, you don't ever want to ask for something large because you will never be able to finish it. And I was just wondering, why aren't people here big as houses walking around eating all of this food? And what is the reason for that?
I guess that they don't eat a lot of processed food, basically. They eat natural, organic food, even if they have a high fat diet. But it's still straight fat. It's not high processed fat. So I think it's this.
I think Americans can take some lessons from countries like Croatia, because it's amazing that we have to come halfway across the world to hear people telling us that this is the norm, and we're just starting to see farmers markets pop up around the country, similar to hackerspaces. We're getting a lot more of these local food movements, people that do not want to support processed products that are coming in on trucks that basically support the military carbon complex. I mean, this is local community. This is the old village, but in the 21st century.
And you also told us that there aren't very many American fast food outlets here.
No, there are a few McDonald's everywhere. But also the fast food, it's local fast food. They have good fast foods, call it burek, or pieskavica, or cevap. It's the local fast food. So it's fat, but it's not high processed fat. So
there are no Starbucks.
Oh, no Starbucks. No Starbucks.
Well, I won't be going to Zagreb for the Starbucks contest, that's for sure. And kokta, a Serbian restaurant we went to in New York, and also a Bosnian/Croatian one, and we had kokta, which spelled C-O-C-K-T-A, and that's from the region. Is it from a particular republic?
Yeah, kokta original, and I think even right now it's from Slovenia. Of course, yes, it's from Slovenia,
and it's basically a soda, I guess, but sort of different than anything we're used to.
Yeah, it's a soda without caffeine, first, and it's what is the thing?
There's no caffeine.
No, it's no caffeine.
You didn't tell me there wasn't any caffeine. I was like jumping off the wall.
I got a buzz.
No. No caffeine.
This is like placebo for Coke. I thought I was getting like a little jolt or something.
Yeah, no caffeine. Yeah. And it's with organic ingredient at 95%, basically.
I am blown away. I thought I was drinking like the equivalent of Coke, but it's really tasty. It has a little different taste, but it's really palatable.
And you can get it in New York. You can go to a Slavic restaurant and ask for kokta. They'll be impressed that you know what it is. You were impressed that we knew what it was.
No, I was impressed. I was, absolutely.
All right, well, we've been speaking with Philip from Zagreb, and I want to thank you so much for showing us around, and also for showing our listeners around, because I think this is going to be a great place for lots of people to go to in the future, just to experience, I guess, a kind of a better pace of life and a better quality of life. What'd you say?
I think, yes, we are still enjoying the life in the slow way. The life has to be lived, so I strongly advise everyone to visit us and visit our hackerspace.
And what's a hackerspace called?
It's called Hack Lab in Mama.
Awesome.
Likewise, I'd like to invite any Croatians to come out, yeah. Especially this summer for Hope. But any other time, we've got lots and lots of hackerspaces in the U.S., and it's doable. We have some hoops, but you can definitely come out and enjoy yourself.
And it's worth it to jump through whatever hoops you have to jump through to get to get into the States. You know, you can. You went through the process of having to be fingerprinted and had your picture taken. Did that dissuade you at all from coming?
No problem. The process was less than 5 minutes, so no big question, not big inquiry, nothing. Just shot and fingerprints and nothing else.
You know, it shouldn't have to be that you have to get your fingerprints taken and your picture taken. But that should not be the reason that people don't come here. Just like we came here and we were registered by the police, to know where we were staying. And in fact, this is done quite seamlessly. We didn't even know we were being registered with the police, but they do that whenever you stay someplace. And if you move someplace else, they register with the police. It's just how it works in that country. If I had my way, they wouldn't do it that way, but I'm not going to say... it spooks me out so much I'm not going to even show up, because think of how much would have been lost if we had done that. Okay, well, we'll hopefully see you in New York.
Of course.
Poznajem te, samo još malo i shvatit ćeš sve. Samo još malo budi tu pored mene, ne čuti ništa, odustajem. Samo još malo, produžimo kraj i znaj da i meni je bed. Kad je tebi i meni je, yeah. Samo još malo budi tu pored mene, ne ću još dugo umarati te. Samo još malo, dovoljno je. Samo još malo budi tu pored mene, ne čuti ništa, tako bi sve. Samo još malo, produžimo kraj i znaj da i meni je bed. Kad je tebi i meni mene, samo još malo budi tu pored mene.
You've been listening to the Off the Wall special from Croatia featuring Off the Wall listener Philip. Let's continue listening to Croatian radio.
Pod mojim krovom više ne stanuje mir, jer ja srce stavljam spavati gdje si mi ti. Samo mi vjetar dođe i pozvoni. Yeah.
Narodni radio.
Još zabavnije.
Svjetla se pale, dolaze praznici i vječno raspoloženje. Dok prolazim gradom ove sunčane dane, osjećam uzbuđenje, na mene lješte reklame.
Sati, ja sam Željka Gulan.
Media servis i Narodni radio.
Bajić priseže na dužnost glavnog državnog odvjetnika.
I radit ću do 2020. kad navršavam 70 godina.
Dvoje mrtvih pronađeno u automobilu srbijanske vlade.
Vijesti Media servisa.
Pred predsjednikom Sabora Lukom Bebićem danas će svečano prisegnuti novi stari glavni državni odvjetnik Mladen Bajić.
Posljednjih mjeseci Bajiću su postavljena mnoga neugodna pitanja i protiv njega se žestoko digla oporba. Optuživali su ga da je politički poslušnik, nazivali ga stand Bajićem koji iz ladica vadi prijave kako kome odgovara. Međutim, vlada je stala čvrsto iza njega. Ministar pravosuđa Ivan Šimonović.
Rezultata ima, ne treba mijenjati momčad koja dobiva.
Ni Bajić ne misli tako brzo mijenjati posao.
I radit ću ga po mojoj procjeni najmanje do 2020. kad navršavam 70 godina. Bez obzira u kojem svojstvu, ali uvijek i jedino u državnom odvjetništvu.
Za Media servis Ines Cvitanović.
Predsjednica vlade Jadranka Kosor izjavila je u Rovinju da će svoj program mjera provesti sa ili bez političkog konsenzusa. Očekuje ipak potporu koalicijskih partnera i dijela javnosti. Smatra da je program ozbiljan, a svjesna i da će najbolniji rezovi biti u mirovinskoj politici. Najavila je i da je realno očekivati poskupljenje struje i plina, čije cijene nisu godinama rasle.
Da se prošli godina cijena struje povećavala za 2, 3 ili 5%, ove godine ne bismo se suočavali naravno sa činjenicom da će struja poskupjeti. Da je cijena plina povećavana prošlih godina, vjerojatno bi danas bilo puno jednostavnije, ali sad smo tu gdje jesmo.
U službenom automobilu srbijanske vlade u Novom Beogradu pronađena su mrtva tijela dvojice muškaraca. Kako je objašnjeno, radi se o vozaču državnog tajnika srbijanskog ministarstva za dijasporu Predragu Novakoviću i bivšem djelatniku srbijanske vlade Milanu Medojeviću. Ravnatelj policije Milorad Veljović za Betu je izjavio da je najvjerojatnije riječ o ubojstvu i samoubojstvu.
Sport.
Niko Kranjčar neće propustiti sljedeću sezonu u Premiershipu. Jučer je odradio novu rundu rehabilitacije nakon što mu je u prvenstvenoj utakmici stradao gležanj. Iako hrvatski reprezentativac neće pod nož, najnovije liječničke prognoze govore kako će rehabilitacija trajati 2 mjeseca. Za Media Servis, Danijela Kosić.
Vremenska prognoza.
U Splitu je 17, Rijeci 15, Zagrebu 8, a Osijeku 7. Umjereno i pretežno oblačno u drugom dijelu dana na Jadranu i priobalju povremeno s kišom. Više sunčana vremena bit će prije podne u Slavoniji. Najviša temperatura od 13 do 19 stupnjeva.
Slušali ste vijesti Media Servisa.
Zasučimo rukave, bacimo se na posao.
Idemo raditi!
Dobro jutro!
Dobro vam jutro, 9:03 i ono najbolje petak je.
Nego šta? A baš me zanima kako vam je bilo ovaj tjedan. Jeste sigurno ste onako već izmučeni, izmoreni, jedva ste dočekali taj vikend da dođe, radujete mu se ko suncu poslije kiše.
Da, baš me zanima, imate li uopće više koncentracije peti radni dan za redom?
E, a kad smo već kod koncentracije, evo jedno test pitanje, Tomislava, za tebe.
Ajde.
Šta je bilo prvo, kokoš ili jaje?
E, mislio si me dobiti na foru, ali samo ću ti reći da odgovor znam. Znam ga, nemoj se smijati. Ali ti ga neću još otkriti. Prvo ću pričekati da vidim znaju li naši slušatelji. Ako netko zna, nek mi dojavi na 0801 007.
Ajde da vidimo.
Nije da ne znam, jel, ali dobro bi mi došla još neka pomoć.
Aha, mi rješenje imamo.
Imamo rješenje, ali tek vidimo, nakon da. Najbolje domaće glazbe. Može?
Može. Odlazim van iz ovog grada.
Još više najbolje glazbe
na Narodnom radiju.
A reci šta da budem, bit ću za tebe. Kažu šta da radim, uradit ću sve. Ne govori više da te ne vole. Evo ti ramena, ako želiš moju ljubav, uzmi je za sva vremena, ne govori više da te ne vole. Kad odilazi sve, ne govori više da te ne vole. Kad odilazi sve, ne govori više da te ne vole.
You've been listening to Off the Wall in Croatia. Next time we hope to be in Slovenia. We'd love to hear from you. otw@2600.com is our email address. This is Emmanuel. Till next time. Good night.
Voditi, hoćeš li heroja, proti ću se boriti. Ne govori više da te ne vole. Kaži, hoću snijeg da pada, ja ću pričat zbogom. Hoćeš me za jednu noć, a ljubi me i šuti nogom. Ne govori više da te ne vole. Kad odjela si sve. Ne govori više da te ne vole. Odjela si sve. Ne govori više da te ne vole. Kad odjela si sve. govori više da te ne volim.
Stay tuned tonight. We have some really cool giveaways to some shows this weekend and some great, great movie giveaways, as always, right here on Finn's Revolution on WUSB Stony Brook, plus a really special giveaway to a gig in the city this week. So stay tuned.